Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter number 12. You hear that? That's my heart. Verse 5. Peter therefore was kept in prison. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Verse 18. Now as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers what was become of Peter. Verse 5. Peter therefore was kept in prison. Verse 18. Now as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers what was become of Peter. I wasn't even intending to preach an Easter message. I'm not going to preach an Easter message, but my, look at here. Aren't you glad he's alive and he's been let? That same crowd said, "We can't figure it out. There was no small stir today. Jesus rose from the grave." Amen. Verse 6, and when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly." And his chains fell off his hands. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came into the iron gate that leadeth into the city, which opened to them of his own accord. They went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, "Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews." And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to the hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, "Thou art mad." But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then they said, "It is his angel." But Peter continued knocking. And when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But he, beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, "Go show these things unto James and to the brethren." And he departed. And he went out into another place. Now as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers what had become of Peter. And when Herod had sought for him and found him not, he examined the keepers and commanded that they should be put to death. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea and abode, and there abode. Amen. I can see here that a miracle took place this night, and this was a great night here for the people of God here. Peter was going to be killed the next day. The very next day, he was going to die. Everything was going to be over for Peter. But we see here that prayer is something very vital in our life if we're ever going to see God do great things. Here's the thing. We live in a world of convenience. I mean, we live, everything is right there at us. We want to preach in the power of God. We want to witness in the power of God. We want to see miracles happen. But do we ever come down to the place where we'll get a hold of God and say, "God, I'm not moving and doing anything till I hear from you"? Everybody wants old-time religion, but nobody wants old-time praying. You say, "Brother Daniel, do you know a lot about prayer?" No, but I'll tell you this. I've got connections. There's people praying for me. And Jesus is praying for me. Hallelujah. These people experienced great victory because a group of people got together and got a hold of God. We're never going to see God do anything until we know how to get a hold of God. You young people are never going to see God until you know how to get a hold of God. We can't expect to come in here and expect God to do every little thing for us. No. What about when Jesus went up to the raised Lazarus from the dead? He told them, he said, you take away the stone. He said, and when you take it away, he said, I'll do a miracle. He expects us to get our hands dirty. He expects us to work. He expects us to labor if we're ever going to see God do something. You tell you what, I thought about David and Goliath. Everybody was in their place when David fought Goliath. The whole army was in their place. Set in array. Everything set in place in the army. I believe a lot of times we're in our place. And we're in the army, but we still lack somebody that's brave enough to get up and do something. It's going to take a young person that's willing to not care what nobody else thinks. Don't care what nobody else thinks. I don't care what y'all think. But he won a victory for a whole nation. And I believe one person that'll go and get a hold of God can win a victory for a whole church. I believe it. Amen. So here, but prayer was made here for Peter without ceasing under the church of God for him. Now he's going to be killed the next day, and I see this right here. I see that this situation looked hopeless. It looked hopeless. It was out of their hands. It was captured by the enemy. They could not get to Peter. He was guarded. He had chains on him. They had soldiers everywhere. Verse number 4 said they had 4 quaternions of soldiers. That is 4 different teams, 4 different people, 16 soldiers that was keeping Peter. There was no way they could ever get to where Peter was. The situation looked impossible. Verse number 5, but prayer was made. I'm telling you, he can make the impossible possible. When you can't get to it and when you can't touch it, he can. It's out of your hands. You've done all you can do. You've given God the glory. It's no longer up to you. You prayed the prayer of faith. Now you're standing on God's truth. Why are you waiting for an answer? Has a question for you. Is anything too hard for God? Is it? What about the old song? I can pray till the walls come down. Why is prayer always our last option? We do all we can do, it seems like. And then finally God gets a hold of our heart and breaks us down to our knees. Prayer unloosens that is bound down. It unlocks that is locked up. It wakes up that is asleep. It turns situations completely around. It causes the sad to be happy. It makes the discouraged, the discouraged to be encouraged. It brings loved ones back home. It saves the lost, heals the sick. It causes people to get stirred up. Prayer does. It will cause that you're praying for to get up. Come right where you at. Sit it down in the living room and look you in the face when you thought it was all over. He just likes doing things that way. Prayer. We have got to have prayer. We can't get up here and have a great service and not have great prayer. No way. There is no telling what God will take out of the enemy's hands if we'll just get a hold of God. God wants to move things. And I notice, yes, that every time somebody goes to do something, the devil tries to stop it. Every time you try to do something, every time you get fired up, you better count on it. The devil's going to turn up the heat. And it's going to be hard. Anytime you do something for God, he's going to stop it. But listen to this. I notice this here, but verse number 6 here. You got a water, preacher? Down here. Verse number 6 here. When Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers. And the Bible says he was bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. In verse number 4, we see they had 16 soldiers there. So why in the world are they got all of these soldiers? Why they got all of these guards? Why they got him chained down this hand right here? Got him chained to one soldier. And they got his other arm, they chained to another soldier. What's the big deal about this little fisherman? What's the big, why they have to do all of these things? I'll tell you why. Because they was dealing with an unusual power. They knew what these people were all about. They knew these people were turning the communities upside down. These are the ones that are turning the world upside down. What's the big deal? He's just a little fisherman. But I'm telling you, you may be little, but there's an unusual power that we can operate in. Peter, I thought about Peter. One day, began to be a lot of sick folk. These men begin to drag them out to the edge of the city, out to the edge of the street in the city. Bands of sick people laying everywhere. What's the big deal? They said Peter was passing by. And they said that we're hoping that at least his shadow might would touch us. How powerful is your shadow? They were scared of shadow, I reckon. Shadow and a bear in a big blue house, you know, shadow. Your mamas know that. I know, little kids. They were scared of his shadow. This is the man that walked on water. We've got to make sure he doesn't go anywhere. Oh, one day he got up and 3,000 people got saved. Oh, there's something about this man. They knew that he might just slip away. Just like his friend did that one time. They killed him, matter of fact. And they put him in a tomb. And then they sealed it. Then they put keepers by it. What's the big deal? Wow, they're operating at an unusual power. And 3 days later, up from the grave, he arose. They seen what his friends and his Lord was doing. And they said, we've got to do everything to stop it. Revival was happening. Revival fires going everywhere. And the devil tried to put it out. Is there revival fires in this church? Or has it been put out? Is there a revival fire in the young people? Or has it been put out? Is it locked down? Is it chained down? What are we going to do? I want God to move. I've been praying about something, and it seems like I can't touch it. It seems like I can't reach it. It's out of my hands. The devil's got it, and it's just too far gone. What can I do? Prayer. But prayer was made. That is not a simple little thing in our Christian life. It's what's going to take to see miracles. Us praying. Now, they started praying. They started praying. And nothing's happening. All is still. There's not a person moving. The church is still. They're down on their knees. The Lord's still. He's not moving yet. Lord's not even moving. Their situation, they're praying for Peter. He's asleep. He's not moving. The guards, they're not moving. There's not a movement one.
But prayer was made. If I can get a hold of that. It seems like every time I get my hands on it, Brother Josh, it slips right through it. But prayer was made. Oh, God, I know what it's going to take to change lives. Oh, God, and I have a determination, and I want to pray, and it seems like it's hard to pray, and it seems like it's difficult to get through, but we must pray.
If we go see God do something, nothing's moving. Hey, that one you've been praying for, or that situation you've been praying for, it's not moving at all. Pray. Pray. Now, things are fixing to pick up a little bit because they're praying. Nothing's moving. Prayer causes some things to get stirred up. It'll cause you to get stirred up if you pray a little bit. That's exactly right. My mouth is so cotton and my heart's beating so bad. I won't keep us long. I'm hurry up. All right. Prayer's being made. God now is going to start moving. What does prayer stir up? I see the first thing that prayer stirs up is the high priest. Oh, listen. The church went down, but God got up. Oh, yes. Verse number 7. And the angel of the Lord came upon him. Yes! Oh, God, get stirred up when we pray. Woo! He likes it. Matter of fact, he gets stirred down. We get stirred up and he gets stirred down. That's right. He sends an angel down. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the veiling of our infirmities. He cares. I know he cares. His heart is touching my grief. The Bible says, now, we got a first stir and God gets up. Woo! If we can just but get him to get up. If we can get him to get up. If we can get him to get up. We go see something. He gets his big flashlight out. Look at verse 7. And the light shining in the prison. Probably one of those ones y'all used to spotlight with, deer with. He shined it down in the prison. Not me, y'all. He shines it down in the prison. And for the first time, that thing that you've been praying for, and for the first time, God puts a little bit of light on it. It's in the darkness. It seemed like there was no hope. It was too far gone. But God puts a little light on it. He puts a little light on it. People say revival just cannot happen anymore. We're just too far gone. And I understand what people are saying. And I've said that before too. But there's something inside of me that does not want to accept that. Because when I accept that mind thinking there, I don't even give God anything to work with. Oh, we're just living in a bad day. Sorry about that. We're living in a bad day. A wicked day. It's dark. Brother Daniel, you don't understand. Satan is so strong that he's got it locked up. He's got guards. He's got his workers all the way around it. There's no way we can ever have revival again. That's because we've skipped verse 5. They was going to kill Peter the next day. But God shines this big light down in there. And he puts a little bit of light on it. And then we get our next stir. The high priest gets stirred up. But then watch this. Peter's fixing to get stirred up. And the angel... Oh, no, verse 7, latter part of verse 7. Let's read verse 7 again. The middle part, I'm sorry. And he smote Peter on the side. All right? Nothing's moving. The church's not moving. Nothing's happening. All of a sudden.
He smokes Peter on the side and tells Peter, you see your next movement, don't you? He smokes Peter on the side and moves Peter. Get up, get up. It's time to get out of here. There's some people that's praying and we got to get on the move. I'm telling you, when we start praying, not only will he shine light on it, but he'll touch your situation. Woo! And you don't know a thing about it yet. You don't know not what's going on, but God's already shined the light and he's already touched it. Keep praying. Peter's now moving. Oh, the thing that looked asleep is now on its feet. He touches Peter and says, get up. That light shining bright. I'd love to have been there. I'd love to have been there. He's shining. He touches Peter and tells Peter, get up. You pray and you be still and you just let God move. You just camp out for a little while. You may be weary, but God is working on the other side. The answer might just be not too far away. Keep praying. You never know what the situation may be. I thought something else was interesting here too with Peter getting stirred up. I thought he right about a verse right here, the verse part of number 9, latter part. He said, but he thought he saw a vision. He thought it was a dream he was having. He thought it was a dream he was having. And this in verse number 11, and when Peter was come to himself. When Peter, I don't like doing that in front of people. I have to, my throat's hurting. We need some interpretive dancing or something. Now listen to this. When he was come to himself. When Peter was come to himself. I'm talking about getting stirred up. I'm talking about what prayer will stir up. All of a sudden, he's out there in the darkness all alone. And he comes to himself. Oh, this is just too good to be true. Surely it cannot be me. Oh, the thing, maybe Peter may have impeached himself and said, it's really me. It's really me. I'm really not going to die tomorrow. I'm really out of prison. And when he came to himself, it do some of us good to come to ourselves and realize where we're at in our life. And I'm telling you, because somebody prayed for you and somebody was praying for you. Reach over and pinch your neighbor. It's really you. We're really in church. We're really in church. It ought to be a dream. It ought to be a dream that I'm saved. It ought to be a dream that I'm on my way to heaven. It ought to be something like a dream, but it's really true. It ought to be a dream that I'm preaching the Word of God. It ought to be a dream to me that I got a family. It ought to be a dream to me that I got friends. I got on Brother Massengale's property yesterday, and I began to look at the property. I began to look at the people. And I thought, man, it ought to be a dream. It ought to be a dream. But it's the real thing. Woo! Somebody prayed. Somebody was praying for you. Somebody was praying for you, preacher. Oh, I'm preaching the Word of God because somebody was praying for me. Wasn't right with God, Mama, get my shoes and pray on my shoes. I wasn't living like I was supposed to. Mama was praying for me. Oh, but look, Mama, now. I'm free. Come to yourself. Some of you need to come to yourself. Realize where you're at. Realize where you're at. It ought to be a dream. I thought about verse 12. Peter said when he considered the thing. When he considered the thing. He came to himself and he's out there in the dark. I don't know about you, but I'm out in the dark. I'm not going to stand still too awful long. I'm going to be heading somewhere where there's light. Trying everything I got. Listen to this. He's out there by himself. And he said when he considered the thing. He said, I've got it figured out. they're down there at the house of Mary praying for me. Because he heads straight to there. He said, I've got it figured out. They're down there praying. See, they got together and prayed. They seen God do a lot of things. And it was all coming through prayer. And this happened, and he says, they're down there praying. As Peter walks down through the dark, I don't know, somebody's praying. I can feel it. Somebody's praying for me. His mighty hands are guiding me to protect me from what I can't see. Because, Lord, I believe. Can you see him out there? Lord, I believe somebody's praying for me. Then the second verse says, angels are watching. I can feel them. Angels are watching over me. And he's headed down to the house of Mary. People's getting stirred up. Amen. Don't get ahead of me. And he says, angels are watching. I can feel them. Angels are watching over me. Mighty hands are guiding me to protect me from my kids. Lord, I believe somebody's praying for me. Yeah. He gets down to the house of Mary. This is blows me away. Rhoda comes to the door. And she doesn't even go in because she gets so stirred up. Yeah. She doesn't even open the door. You ever seen somebody get so stirred up they start just acting silly? Yeah. You ever seen that? Start acting silly, please. And so, listen. So she goes to the door, knocks, and hears her, hears knocking on the door, and runs back in. And she begins to shake the people. Oh, it's true. Oh, it's true. That's really not a dream. He's really here. He's at the door. I've heard his voice. He's at the door. I've heard his voice. Yes, and he's at the door. I've heard his voice. They said, you're mad. Now, here goes your independent Baptist crowd right here. You don't know what you're doing. Somebody gets to shouting. Somebody gets to being with God. I tell you what, they might have already heard the voice. They might have already heard the knocking. They might not know it's true. Somebody gets in the glory. And I tell you what, we start inspecting. Is that really real? Is that real? She don't know what she's doing. He doesn't know what he's doing. We're praying, getting a hold of God. Sister, sit down. We've been praying all night. And God's fixing to move. Sit down. Sit down. You don't know what you're doing. You're mad. You're crazy. They might have already just heard the voice and trying to get you stirred up a little bit. I'm getting down there where you live now. Oh, yeah. You know that's right. But she said, it's true. It's true. I've heard his voice. Woo! He's at the door. But Rhoda's getting stirred up now. She's getting stirred up now. All of a sudden, they got up and they went to the door. Now, all of a sudden, they're astonished. And you know what? They get so excited. They get to making so much noise. They get so stirred up. Look in verse number 17. That Peter says, but he, beckoning with the hand, said, calm down. They're going to find out where I'm at. Calm down. The calm down. They getting stirred up now. Because of verse 5. Because of verse 5. Prayer was made. They're getting stirred up. God's got stirred up. He stirred the situation up that they thought was gone tomorrow. And caused it to come and sit right down in their living room with them. And matter of fact, he stirred it up so much, he tried to calm them down. God's stirring up all kinds of things.
Only way we're going to have a stirring is through prayer. It's not just going to be handed to us. It is not just going to be given to us. You're going to have to learn how to pray. I'm going to have to learn how to pray. I thought about, not only did the church and the people get stirred up there, but verse number 18, there was, as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers. What has become of Peter? It's going to stir the enemy up. And King Herod there killed them. And I see Peter cruising, but them getting a bruising. The church was weary, but God was working. I see the prisons in a panic, but the church is praising God. Because prayer was made without ceasing. Thought about Elisha wanting the power of God. He told Elijah, he said, I'm not leaving until I get it. He said, I'm staying with you. I'm staying with you. I want a double portion of what you got. And he stayed with him. We're going to have to learn to do a little bit of camping out sometimes. We're going to see God do something. Now watch this. What about the Shunammite lady? She ran to Elisha, her dead boy. She said, I'm not leaving you. I'm not leaving you till you do something. She saw a miracle. Elisha had a double portion. What about the Syrophoenician woman there? New Testament came to Jesus. She said, I don't care. I don't care. I'll take the crumbs that fall from the rich man's table. I don't care. She said, I want what you got. We need you. And I realize if we don't hold on to you long enough, you're never going to be enough for us. We've got to get to the place in our life where we're willing to get a hold of God. We can pop our bubble gum, pop our chewing gum, say our prayers in the morning before we leave, this and that, and that's fine. We must do that. We've got to do that. But there's going to come a time when you may just have to find you a spot out in a field somewhere. Say, God, my son's lost. My daughter's lost. I may have to do it for my daughter one day. I got a situation I'm praying for, and it seems like it's impossible. There's no way I can get to it. Brother Daniel, you don't understand. It's out of my hands. It's out of my hands. There's no way I can touch it. There's no way I can get to it. It's impossible. But prayer can be made. But prayer can be made. Them prayers went up, went through glory, went right over those guards, and came right back down where they couldn't get to. And I thought about this. How can you pray and see things happen like this right here? How can you pray and get answers like this? And I believe this is the answer right here. If we'll approach the situation like it's the last time we're ever going to get to pray for it, God might just do something. Because when we realize that it's the last time we're ever going to get to pray for it, we're going to take it serious. We're going to be earnest. And we're going to say, God, I want to see you do something. And I want to do whatever it takes to see you move. To see you do it. I've been praying about Montana out there. God may just be shining a light there already right now. I don't know what he's doing on the other end of this thing. He could be doing something like this right here on the other end. I don't know. I just got to keep praying. Just get him stirred up. So, if you'll pray like it's the last time, I believe God will help you. If you pray like it's the last time. See, let me say something about Montana. We're going to Montana. Y'all can be good. I'm just kidding.